Here now is a brief interview that I conducted just a few moments ago with Edgar Casey, the 84-year-old son of the prophet Edgar Casey.
Well, you know, being born in the family and growing up with him, he was a very ordinary person in waking life. And you remember, he only gave these so-called readings about once or twice a day. Maybe they lasted 20 to 40 minutes. So 99% of the time, he was a very natural person. He was a good carpenter. He liked to work in the garden. He enjoyed fishing. And he, you know, he was very ordinary. You wouldn't know that what he would have this ability is just to talk to him in ordinary day life.
Did you, in your conversations with him, Edgar, did you ever get the feeling that he wished he didn't have that gift that he possessed?
I heard that he had some problems with it when he first, this was before I was born, when he first got, he got this ability by, he had some strange experiences as a child, but he, I think the first reading he gave, he was really on himself. I think that's the way it started. He had lost his voice. He was working in a bookstore, and of course he couldn't sell any books if he couldn't talk. And he'd tried all the doctors in town, and they weren't able to help him. And at that time, hypnotism was a fad, and there was a hypnotist in town. And somebody suggested, why don't you try him? Maybe he can give you a post-hypnotic suggestion. You'll be able to talk when you wake up. He'd tried everything, so he said, well, I'll try it. And under hypnosis, he could talk a little bit, but he wouldn't accept the suggestion. And when he woke up, he still couldn't talk. And the hypnotist said, well, you're such a good subject. Said, maybe you won't take the suggestion from me. Maybe you, why don't you try putting yourself to sleep or giving yourself a hypnotic suggestion, and maybe you'll be able to talk when you wake up. Dad said he'd try, and he just went right to sleep, it looked like. I guess it was a self-induced hypnotic state. And he started to describe his condition, said this is a congestion of the throat muscles, and said we'll clear this up. And he turned real red in the face and neck and coughed up a little blood and woke up and he could talk. And I think that was, my understanding was, one of the first readings. Well, there was a medical doctor there, Dr. Ketchum, and he witnessing this demonstration of experiment, and he said, that's the most remarkable thing I ever saw. I said, Casey, I've got some patients that I don't know what's wrong with. Would you be willing to help me, just tell me what's wrong with them? And his dad was always willing to help anybody, and he said, sure, I will. And he, that's when he first began giving these readings. Well, what happened, this was in Kentucky, and before he was even married, and he gave a number of physical readings there. That's, in fact, most of the readings he gave during his life were physical readings, about 60% of the over 14,000 ones that we have records of. And trouble was that some people began asking him questions during the readings and about other things than the person he was supposed to be diagnosing. They'd say, who's going to win this horse race? Who's going to win this football game? And he would answer the questions, but when he woke up, he would be upset. He would either have a stomach ache, or he'd be dizzy, or he'd be nauseated. He just he knew something was wrong, but he didn't know what was happening because he didn't remember anything that he said or anything that happened while he was in this state, just like he was asleep.
Okay.
And when he found out what was happening, he says, I'm through with this. I'm not doing it anymore. And he moved his family from Kentucky to Selma, Alabama. In fact, I was born in Selma, Alabama, and he opened a photographic studio and quit giving readings. He didn't start again until my brother was burned with some flashlight powder. They didn't use flash bulbs then. They had this flashlight powder, and he then dropped a match in a little partially filled can of flashlight powder, and it blew up in his face and burned his face and eyes terribly. And doctors wanted to take out one eye to save the other, and they said he'd never see again. And he said, Daddy, give me a reading. Dad did give him one, and he described what to do for it. And after about 2 weeks, a sort of a scar came off his whole face, and he could see fine. He did wear glasses later on in life, but he got along well. Well, that made Casey famous all over again about psychic cures. He decided maybe he should start giving readings again, but he made the rule that his wife, Gertrude, my mother, would be the one who would direct the readings or give him the suggestion to go to sleep and the directions for the reading, and so nobody could ask questions. That's an odd thing.
Edgar, did your father ever talk about the ability to do remote viewing, and that was basically to send himself not into the past, but not into the future, but into real time to see events in certain places on this planet or perhaps throughout the universe?
Well, I think he did that as part of giving these readings. I know not in every reading, but in some cases he would, all he had to know to give a reading on a person was the name of the person and where he was at the time of the reading. The person could be in the room or in another state, a city, or across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sometimes say, just an aside remark, there's a pretty cherry tree in the yard, just like he was there seeing the person. Or this man is arguing with his wife. Or something like that. I can remember an instance. I used to listen to a lot of readings when I was growing up, and I remember one particularly. He was supposed to have a reading on a man in New York, and mother gave him the suggestion, you have before you the body of so-and-so, is at this address in New York, and Dad lay there a minute, and he says, he's not here. Said, he's on a bus coming across town. Said, there was a traffic accident. The bus is late, so he'll be here in a minute. He'll wait. We'll wait. Said, he lay there for 15 minutes, didn't say a word, and all of a sudden he continued with the reading, said, he's come in now, and he proceeded to give the reading. Well, at that time, my brother got up and went in the other room and called a man on the phone, and the man said, that's exactly right, said, I knew I was supposed to be in my apartment at this time. I was on the way there on a bus, and there was a lot of traffic, and it was late, and I just this minute walked in. So there's a beautiful case of remote viewing that I don't think anyone could have anticipated.
One would think, being the son of Edgar Cayce, perhaps one of the greatest prophets, I think, on this planet, that it might be genetically passed down. Do you have any similar traits?
No, I don't have any abilities of that nature, not. My field was electrical engineering, and I don't think my brother had any either. You know, we never considered him a prophet. Cayce always said that the future wasn't fixed, that we could change it. And in fact, I've got some quotes from some readings that would kind of say that. In other words, someone asked him once, if this case goes to trial, what will the jury do? And he says, what will a jury do? You might as well ask what an eagle or a snake would do. Here's one, another one there. He says, somebody asked me, will I ever get into the motion picture field? And if so, will I be successful in it? And the answer was, will I ever get in the way of an automobile or go up in a balloon? This depends upon choices as made by and through the opportunities sought. You know, it's not surprising that many individuals wanted a glimpse of the future, but to those people, Cayce said in effect that the future was not fixed and that the man's free will can control events.
And I think that's very important for all of us to understand that even with some of the really the horror one reads in, let's say, the book of Revelation or items that other prophets in the past have portrayed the future to be for all of us, as your father said, it can be altered. It doesn't have to end in that kind of tragedy, does it?
That's right.
Of everything that he has done in his life, what was the most profound thing, Edgar, that even you as his son said, oh my, oh my?
I don't know. I guess that would be hard to say. I think there were so many readings that were so successful and helped people that to them, I guess it was the most important thing in their life. And I know I've had reading myself, physical readings, life readings, and I guess one of the most interesting things is the first so-called life reading, a vocational guidance reading that he ever gave. Someone was interested in astrology, and they asked him for a horoscope and what effect the stars had on his life. And he said, well, the stars didn't have as much effect on your life as your past lives. And he proceeded to tell the man what he had been in his past life and what effect it was having on his life now. Well, when he woke up and heard what he'd said, he didn't know what to think. He didn't know anything about reincarnation and karma, and he didn't know whether it was against his... He was a very religious person. He taught Sunday school in the Presbyterian Church at the beach and in the Christian Church in Kentucky. And, you know, he just didn't know. He always was afraid. He said if he ever gave a reading, it hurt anyone, he would quit. But some of the life readings seem to be as helpful as many of the physical readings, and he continued to give them. And I think that was a very interesting turning point, or point in his life. I think the first one was given in 1923.